The following is a peace lecture at Jewish school, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on October 31st, 2014, in Tallinn, Estonia.
Shri Guru Shri Jata Vada Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunata Vita Tamsa Jiva Sadaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchat Yande Satarine. So, at the present moment, we are in an age known as the age of Kali. Kali means the age of turmoil. There is distress within, and there is distress without. There is war raging within, and there is war raging without. So the world society is in great need of a peace formula. And the good news is this. There's one peace formula that covers both the inside and the outside. So I have traveled today here to Estonia to reveal to you what is that peace formula. So that you can have peace within, and you can be an ambassador of peace without externally. So what is the basic cause of the turmoil? We are not centered, that's the problem. We're out of sync with the origin of existence. There's an original substance to reality. Now, the scientists tell us that everything comes out of nothing. But not all scientists accept that principle. Because that's a blind assumption. It is much more scientific, and it is verifiable empirically as well, to establish that you don't get something out of nothing. So there's an original substance to reality. And when one loses his or her connection with that original substance, it's like a baby, you know, prematurely cut off from the umbilical cord. When one loses one's connection with that original substance, then one is put in a very distressful, disturbing condition. And when we allow such disconnected people to become the world leaders, then we have turmoil in the world. So what we need actually for world peace is we need world leaders who are actually connected with that original substance. And anyone who connects with that original substance, they become very peaceful and happy within their heart. There's an ancient science of how to connect with that original substance. And that is called yoga. Yoga means to yoke or to link or to connect with that original substance. There are many different types of yoga. Hatha yoga, Jnana yoga, Ashtanga yoga. But of all the yogas, it is described that the yoga called bhakti is the topmost yoga system. So what does this word bhakti mean? Bhakti means pure love. Or genuine love. Without any strings attached or any conditions attached to it. This pure love actually is the most powerful way of connecting. We have practical experience of this. Think of somebody you really love. Think of a person that you really love. You would do anything for that person, you see. That there's a very strong connection, you see. So in the Bhakti Yoga system, you actually learn how to love that original substance. Now that may sound a little weird. Love a substance? I mean, I love people, but I don't love substances. Well, here's the good news. If you carefully analyze what has that original substance, you'll actually find that substance possesses personality. And I ask you, if something possesses personality, is it a person or is it not a person? Can impersons possess personality? How about the chair you're sitting on? It's an imperson. Does your chair have personality? No. So that original substance is actually a person. And since that original substance, person, is the origin of everything, therefore he's the original person. In Sanskrit language, this is called Adi Purusha. The original person. We actually have a mantra that enables you to connect with that original person. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. So that original person has a name. Actually, unlimited names. Since that original person is the source of everything that exists, that original person has unlimited qualities, unlimited activities, and unlimited names. So in the mantra I just chanted, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, that original person is called Govinda, which means one who gives pleasure to the senses. Now you may wonder, well, how does that work? Well, I'll give you an example. What part of your body distributes nutrition to the entire body? The gastrointestinal system. When you feed your belly, that system then digests the food and distributes the benefit of the food through all your bodily parts. So when you give your love to that supreme person, that original person, that benefit then, of that love energy, it distributed universally. You receive the benefit of becoming fully peaceful and happy. And that energy then completely inundates the entire existence. Just as when you feed your belly, the whole body is nourished. Similarly, you give your love to that original person, that love energy inundates all of existence. And that way you get peace and the whole world gets peace. You may say then, why is the world so much in turmoil? Because this art of bhakti yoga has been forgotten in the modern age. There's a movement called the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Also called the Hare Krishna Movement. We are giving this information and the techniques of how you can connect yourself with that original person in pure love. To personally achieve perfect peace and to be able to give pure love and pure peace to the whole world. So, what is the technique? Actually, the technique revolves around sound vibration. Sound vibration is very powerful. It's like in the Bible it says, in the beginning was the Word. Word means sound. So sound is very powerful. Isn't that how we wake up in the morning, the alarm clock goes off? Sound arouses us from sleep. So in the ancient Vedic scriptures of India, and actually it's in all the scriptures, the Old Testament, the New Testament, spiritual sound or transcendental sound is a universal principle of arousing the consciousness within. By uttering sacred mantras, one revives one's original pure loving state of consciousness. You can take any sacred syllable from any scripture. The Vedas, the Bible, the Quran. You can take any sacred syllable from any of the scriptures and vibrate that syllable. These syllables have mystical powers. Because that original person is absolute. Everything that exists is nothing but the expanded energy of that original person. So when one utters a name, a bona fide name for that original person from bona fide scripture, that name is actually non-different from that original person. So when you utter Allah or Christ or Buddha or Jehovah or Krishna or Govinda, you have come in direct contact with that original person. The powerhouse that energizes all of existence. So it's a very powerful experience. And because that original person is all good and all loving, it's not only a powerful experience, it's a very beautiful experience. So I thought, why should we just talk about this experience? Why don't we experience it? So I brought my musical instrument, the harmonium, and I'm going to chant one of these sacred mantras and invite you to join in with me. We will have a sing-along. In America, they used to call them hootenannies. We'll have a transcendental hootenanny tonight. I will sing the mantra, and then you can sing it back to me, you see. You could be the echo, you see. In this way, by directly connecting with this original person, who is fully manifest in transcendental sound vibration, if you really tune in and really get in a meditative mood, you will have the most powerful, amazing experience of your entire life tonight. So, is the mantra written anywhere? No. Okay, I'll teach you the mantra. You repeat after me. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Now I'll do it a little more. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now the whole thing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You're now certified chanters.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Everybody chant.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Hare.
Wow, that was great. Thank you for joining me in that chanting. I mean, I really got off on that. See, the thing is, this chanting is like an airplane. In Sanskrit language, the word for airplane is vimana. So this is called mantra vimana. Mantra airplane. In other words, it can be a really lousy, miserable day here in Tallinn. If you chant the mantra, it's like getting on an airplane going. You get up there above the clouds. You get even beyond the stratosphere. In fact, this mantra will break through the coverings of the material universe and enter into the spiritual sky. That's how powerful it is. So, the more you practice it, the more expert you get at chanting it, and the more expert you are chanting it, the higher it takes you. And there's no limit to how high it can take you. This mantra is so cool that you can go on chanting it for years and never get tired. I've been chanting it every day for the last 43 years. And I'm just getting started. It's phenomenal. It brings great peace within. And the more you spread it in the world becomes peaceful too. Actually, that's one reason I came here tonight to Tallinn. I want to get as many people chanting Hare Krishna as possible. Because if we can get enough people chanting it, war will stop. There'll be no more war. There'll be no more murders. No more rapes. You see? Because this mantra gives full satisfaction. By chanting Hare Krishna mantra, you become totally satisfied. You don't need anything. A little food to eat, a place to lay down, and you're happy. In this material world, we think, yeah, to be happy, I got to have more and more material things, more and more material things. More money, a fancier car, a bigger apartment, more and more facilities. But these material facilities do not bring happiness. What's the proof? Look at all the richest people. They're miserable. They have the power, they have the money, but they're miserable. To be happy, you just got to connect with the Supreme Person within. That's all you got to do. Supreme Person is right there, right there in your heart, right now. And this mantra will connect you with them. So perhaps some of you have some questions. I'll be happy to answer questions. You may have to come telling in my ear without the mic. The mic gets in the way. The echo.
So, the gentleman is asking that if this mantra chanting is so simple to do, then why don't everybody do it around the world?
I have the same question myself.
I'm going to translate the question.
Yeah.
küsimus siis härrasmehe poolt on see, et kui see on nii lihtne, siis miks kõik ümber ümi maailmas ei korda seda mantrat? Ja lõpeta vastab, et mul on sama küsimus.
I love your question.
Mulle väga meeldib see küsimus.
But I want to ask you, are you chanting it regularly? Or you just learned it tonight for the first time? You just learned it, huh?
No, he already knows the mantra.
So you've been chanting every day?
Yes.
Oh, very good, very good.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you why. There's a cloud of ignorance covering the whole human society right now. In Sanskrit language, it's called Maya. Just like the owl, when the daytime comes, he closes his eyes tight. If you tell him, my dear Mr. Owl, didn't you know there's some wonderful thing called daytime? He says, no, there's no such thing as daytime. People close they close themselves off to this, you see. They're captivated by, you know, the movies, the billboards, the magazines, the newspapers. I mean, I have to tell you the truth. Most people are not very intelligent. They're dumb. They don't realize that this human life is going by very quickly. And that by their karma, they're going to become animals in their next birth. They don't realize that just by chanting the holy names of God, they leave their body, they'll attain the kingdom of God. You see? So we're trying really hard to educate them. But we're competing against the huge $1 billion, you know, advertising media and entertainment media in the world, which is very difficult to you know, compete with. If some rock star comes to Tallinn, he'll have thousands of people filling the auditorium, you see. They sing some, you know, rock and roll songs. Can't get no satisfaction. You see. You can pack the auditorium, see. If we tell you how to get real satisfaction, people are not interested. They just want to hear how I can't get no satisfaction. So it's a tough battle. It really is. It's a tough battle. Your government leaders are deluded. Your government leaders are deluded. Your government leaders are deluded. Your college professors are deluded. Your poets, your philosophers, the actors, the singers, these people are deluded. The people are running after them. So we're trying to say, hey, why are you following these fools and rascals who don't know anything about existence? See, people really need to follow, they need to find a guru, a bona fide spiritual master. That's what you need, you see. We don't have enough gurus in the world, bona fide gurus. And the trouble is, you have many so-called gurus who are not really genuine. They don't know what they're talking about. Many gurus, they say, you know, I'm God, you're God, and we're all God. That's ridiculous. If you're God, why are you getting old? Why do you ever go to the dentist when you get a toothache? If you're God, why do you have to report to work on Monday morning to your boss? You know what I mean? So you have bogus gurus who are teaching everybody that they're God, which is completely nonsense. The world is filled up with 99.99% lying, cheating, propaganda. Which is based on the false conception of the self is the body. In fact, we are programmed from our very birth to think that we are these bodies. What's the first thing you hear when you come out of your mother's womb? Oh, look, it's a boy. It's a girl. And what do you hear when you grow up? Be a good little boy, be a good little girl. But the self is not the body. The body is just a covering. The body is simply a garment. It's like you're wearing a gray sweater right now. If I told you that you were a gray sweater, would you be insulted? Sure you would. I'm not a gray sweater. If I told you you were a middle-aged male, it's the same thing. You have a middle-aged male body covering the self, but that's a garment also. Just like the sweater is a garment, your middle-aged male body is also a garment covering the self. So when you actually understand what science has called the antimaterial particle to be your actual self, then you're starting to become spiritually awakened. And this is what my spiritual master has instructed us to do. We must travel all over the world and awaken everyone to this divine consciousness. So we ask you please help us in spreading this Krishna consciousness movement. Is that all right? Thank you very much. Okay, next question. Yes.
We translate in five parts. He's telling that you have been preaching in many different countries. So have you noticed in some country that some countries, some people are like more willing to accept, and if it is so that some countries are more willing, then why is it so? What's the reason why some people are more?
Yeah. Countries that have more material opulence are more blind. Countries that are more opulent materially, the more they're opulent materially, the more they become blind. Lord Jesus says it's more difficult to pass an elephant through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So material opulence is a impediment, actually. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Chapter number 2. Text number 44. Bhagashvarjang prasaktanang tyavar tetasam vivasayatmaka buddhir samadhananavidyate. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. I speak in Australia, I speak in North America, I speak in Western Europe, I speak in Eastern Europe. But Eastern Europe is very much more open. Because you're not as rich as Western Europe and the US. They don't have the same amount of wealth. That is your great good fortune, actually. You're very fortunate here. You don't have so much opulence like America and Western Europe. So Eastern Europe is a very special place in the world, my experience. Therefore I come here 3 times a year to Eastern Europe. This is my favorite place in the whole world for telling people about Krishna. This is the best place. This is the sweetest place for me. The sweetest place. You all are great. I love you. You're great. Okay, next question.
Asking that since this spiritual vibration wakes our consciousness up, how is it so that sometimes when we're in some lecture where they're speaking spiritual topics, we tend to fall asleep? Why is this kind of tendency?
Why do we get sleepy sometimes when we're hearing about these enlightening topics? Because we're still under the influence of the modes of material nature. There are 3 modes of material nature. There's the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, and the mode of ignorance. One who's in the mode of goodness can go on hearing philosophy for hours and hours and just get more and more enlivened the more they hear it. One in the mode of passion wants to hear about, you know, making money, becoming popular, like that kind of stuff. That enlivens them. Somebody in the mode of ignorance, they just want to sleep, that's all. So if you're getting sleepy, that means the mode of ignorance is covering your consciousness. But there's things you can do to counteract it. You can, you know, take a deep breath. Or you can, you know, kind of like, you know, a little bit. Or you can just try to hear a little better. Or you can pray to Krishna, "My dear Lord, there's a wonderful talk now going on, but I'm falling asleep. Please help me to stay awake." Or you can stand up And if you still fall asleep when you're standing up, you can kind of dance back and forth a little bit. If that doesn't work, you should go home and go to bed. You're too tired. You want to add something, Devi? Okay. This is my wife. This is my wife here, Vishnupriya Devi Dasi. You want to introduce her? She does great austerities, traveling all over the world with me. At great inconvenience, she tolerates all these inconveniences of traveling with me. I really appreciate her very much. Okay. Yeah.
That's your whole question?
Yes.
Okay. So I will repeat. Thank you. So the lady is asking that in your lecture, you mentioned that the original person is the one, Govinda, who gives pleasure to the senses. So is this a person or is this original, is this God? And if...
Yes, that is... Yes, Govinda is God, that's right.
And she's
the name for God is Krishna and Govinda are names for God, that's right.
And she's also asking that can you please define God, is God? And I will translate.
Okay.
It's not my question. Can we define God as a person?
Ah, okay, sorry. Excuse me. Actually, and she corrected me. I made a mistake. She was asking, can we define God as a person?
So, can we define God as a person? Actually, it is not up to us to define God. God defines himself. And God has to be a person. God cannot be an imperson. I'll give you the proof. Just consider a gold mine. From that gold mine, so much gold is coming out, being extracted from the gold mine. Can you get gold out of a goldless gold mine? No, it's not possible. You only get gold out of a gold mine when it has gold in it, you see. So God is the mind, the existential mind. He's the mind of all existence. All of existence comes from God, you see. Now you're a person, aren't you? Yes, you're a person. So you have also come from God, you see. Since everything comes from God, you have also come from God. And since you are a person, therefore, you cannot get persons out of something that doesn't have personality. Just like you can't get gold out of a goldless gold mine, you cannot get persons out of a personless existential mine. Do you understand? So since you have a person and you have come from God, therefore God must possess personality, otherwise persons cannot come out of God. Does that make sense to you? You sure it makes sense? You confused? The Bible says man is made in the image of God. Listen. So, God has personality. That's why man has personality. Look at it this way. God is the greatest.
Excuse me?
God is the greatest, right? Okay. Can you be greater than God in any way?
If you want to be rich, simply to be rich, you are.
Not possible, right? So if you possess personality and God doesn't, that means you're greater than God in that way. Therefore, since you possess personality, God must also possess personality. Otherwise, He's not the greatest. In other words, you cannot exceed God in any way. Therefore, it's not that you can have personality and He is without personality. If you have it, He has to have it. If you had it and He didn't, that would mean you're better, you're greater than Him. Does that make sense to you?
Okay,
good. Very good. Okay, next question. Yes, sir.
Asking that, what's going to happen after death?
That depends on your consciousness, the time of death. Just as the air carries aromas with it, whatever state of consciousness you have at the time of death will carry you to your next body. You were thinking of God, you will go to God. You're thinking of eating, you become a hog. You're thinking of sleeping, you become a bear. In this way. If you think you have sex, you become a pigeon. Sex? You think of sex, you become a pigeon. So according to your consciousness at the time of death, that will carry you to your next body. If you chant Hare Krishna regularly every day, then your mind will naturally cling to God at the time of death and you'll go to Him. So it's up to you, sir, now to study what kind of body you'd like to have in your next life. And live your life in that way. In fact, you, this present moment, you are in the process of creating your next body. Right now, you're creating it. Because you're cultivating a certain type of mentality with every thought that goes through your brain. And the sum total of all those thoughts will be manifest at the time of death. So you are the architect of your own destiny. You can choose what to meditate on. So that you can get the next body of your choice. Next question. Want to add anything, Devi? Devi, want to add something? Okay.
So the lady is asking that, for example, if an old person is chanting the mantra, but then something happens with this whole person and he or she loses the memory, and in that memory loss she also leaves the body or dies, then what is the destination of such a person?
Mm-hmm. Krishna is very kind. Krishna, our God, is very kind. If one sincerely cultivated God consciousness throughout their life, and then they had some brain disease at the end, Krishna can mercifully manifest within their memory just as they're leaving their body. Your sincerity is what counts. Therefore, sincerely cultivate your Krishna consciousness now while you have a chance. Now your brain is not diseased. Now you have a good, healthy brain. Therefore, now you should seriously take it up. Take out the sadhana bhakti process very seriously. Accept a guru and fully surrender as a disciple. Are you ready to do that? Very good. So the devotees will train you how to do that. Yeah. And then no matter what happens at the end of your life, you will be protected. Next question.
About love, but how to express one's love to God in such a way that God would actually accept our love and that we would also feel that He has accepted the love.
Yeah. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Yeah. Next question.
So the young lady is asking how to make this, that means how to understand that I am actually, in reality, connected with God, and in times when I'm disconnected, then how to again get this connection back?
If you will study the book called Bhagavad Gita, I think we have some books here. You have Bhagavad Gita?
Yes, we have.
We have a book. In a minute we're going to open the books. You can get this book, Bhagavad Gita. By studying this book, you can always be connected with Krishna or God. And whenever you feel disconnected, you can just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I think now this is a good time since we mentioned the books. We can now open the book display, and everyone can. Anybody who gets a book, if you, I'll give you a written blessing in your book. You can bring it up to me after you buy your book, and I'll give a written blessing. Thank you very much.